We begin the current daf in the Dharm daf nun. We begin on the third line daf at the top of the Yamud. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, that is, we spoke about one Tana who is very poor. Now the Gemara continues with another Tana who is poor. So the Gemara tells us Rabbi Kiva, the famous Rabbi Kiva, is kadoshas le brate de kalbasivu. He got engaged to the daughter of one of the most wealthiest individuals that was known as kalba savua. That's because whoever came into his house hungry like a kalba, like a dog, would go out savua, satiated. Now, shama kalba savua, so kalba savua, who wanted his daughter to marry the biggest talmid chacham, and Rabbi Kiva was not this when he got engaged. He was actually a shepherd. So adraha no mikol nichse, he went and he made his daughter forbidden to have pleasure from all of his assets. Now, azlovin siva le besisva. Now, Rabbi Kiva went and then consummated the relationship. He got married to her in the winter. Now, or as some of the Gemara say, actually, Besisra, because that would actually be similar to like the Gemara Ksubis, which was that he went and married her Betsina in private. Now, Havagona Beitivna. Now, since they didn't have any money, they slept amongst straw because they didn't have pillow and blankets. Now, Havakamankit Lay Tivna Minmazia. So, Rabbi Kiva was busy picking the straw out of his new brides here because they were sleeping in straw. So Amalai, he said to her, Ihavili, says, look, if I had the money, Ramina Lechi Yerushalayim de Dahava, I would purchase for you what's called Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, a golden ornament that had the picture of Yerushalayim engraved in it. And that's actually what he ended up doing, as the Gemara tells him, Sech the Shabbos, when he had money. But he was telling her now, he's like, I'm sorry, we don't have money, you know, and we're sleeping here among straw. Now, Eliyahu Navi came, Idami Lohin Kanosha. He appeared like a person, not like the angel that he is, and that's because of the spiritual stature that he's in. And the reason why he came to them is because he wanted to comfort them and to show them that there's even poorer people than them, which is a comforting thing when a person's able to compare and look down instead of looking up. Now, B'kukari Ababa, he was knocking on the door, and Amalahu, he said to them, Havali Purta de Tivna, give me a little bit of straw, because Yalad de Itzi, my wife, gave birth, Valesli Midam Laguni, I don't have anything to put the baby in to lay down on, because we don't even have straw. So Amalei Rabbi Kiva and Tosfos, Rabbi Kiva told his wife, wow, Chazik Gava, look, here's a person that Vela Tavna Lo Yisle, he doesn't even have straw, how lucky we are, at least we have straw, and this person doesn't even have straw to put his new baby in. Now Amalei, the Gemara tells us that she said to Rabbi Kiva, Zil Havi Beirav, go and learn in the yeshiva. Azl Tarti Sri Shnin Kamed Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yeshua. So he went and they learned 12 years, front of the great Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Now Lemishlim Tarti Sri Shnin, at the end of 12 years, Kosla Beise, he was coming home. Shamim and Achari Beise, as he was about to walk into his house, he heard from behind his house, the Ka'amalo Chad Rashal of the Beisu, there was a certain evil, wicked person that was telling his wife, Shape Avel Lechavuch, you know what? Your father was right by making you forbidden to have pleasure from all his assets. Chada, first of all, Didalai Domilech, this husband of yours, he's not appropriate for you. And that is, he's not from as a distinguished and respectful family like you are. Vaig, moreover, Shafkach Armolos Chayes Kulichnin, you're like a living widow all these years. You're worse than a widow. At least a widow could get married to someone else. Hey, you're married, but you don't have a husband. Here he goes, and he leaves you for 12 years. Amalei, she said to him, you got it all wrong. If my husband would listen to me, he would stay in yeshiva for another 12 years. Now, Amma, when Rabbi Kiva heard this, he said, since there I have permission, because as the Gemara says elsewhere, that Talmudic scholars pass away and they're punished because of not paying attention and to the needs of their wife, but here where he has permission, I'm going to go back to yeshiva. And that is what Reb Chaim Shalevitz famously says, that 12 plus 12 is not 24. He wasn't going to even stop in and say hello, rather Hadar Azal. He went back to yeshiva. Habatar Tisrei Shnei Achronos, and he stayed in yeshiva for another 12 years. Asa Be'esrin Rav Arba Alfin Zugit Hamidu. When he finally was coming back after 24 years, he was coming back with 24,000 peers of students, which actually the Gemara in Ksubis doesn't have the word peers, and as it's Mashman Masech Zivam, said it was 12,000 peers, which is 24,000 students, but the Gersa here in this Masech Tzendarm says he came back with 24,000 peers of students. And Nafikuli Amalapis, and now from his hometown, everyone was coming out to greet this great sage. His wife was also coming out to greet her great husband. Amalahu Rishir, so that same wicked person, told her, where do you think you're going? You don't have appropriate, you're going to go in those rags to visit this great Talmudic sage? So Amrlei, so she said to him, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, Yidei Tzadik, the righteous person, knows Nefesh Behemtai, the soul of his animal, whereas Rashi explains in Mishlei that he knows what his animal and what his family members need. In other words, as the Rana explains, she was telling this wicked person, he knows how much I suffered for him. And although I'm not dressed appropriately, he'll definitely appreciate his wife. Asus Liz Chazuy Leis, so she came to appear in front of her, in front of him. Kamatchan Rabbanah, so the rabbis were pushing away this raggedy woman. Amalahoin, Rabbi Kiva said to them, Hanichula, leave her. Shali v'shalochem shalahu. Mine and yours is hers. And that is my Torah, your Torah, is all because of her, because she's the one that gave me the great idea of going to learn in yeshiva. Now the Gemara tells us, Shema Kalba Savua, so his father-in-law, Kalba Savua, heard that there was a Talmudic sage that came to town. So Asa v'ichel al-nidri, he came and he was shoyel on his neder. He was asking if there was a way to uproot his neder that he had made his daughter forbidden in his assets. Vishterai, and Rabbi Kiva permitted his neder, and therefore Vishterai, Rabbi Kiva became permitted to get from his father-in-law Kalba Savua, which he ended up ultimately getting half of his assets. Now the Gemara Masechtas Ksubas and Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph explains that this incident happened that he found a pesach from an opening. Whereas you can't just undo a neder, you have to find an opening, and that is Rabbi Kiva told his father-in-law, if you know that your son-in-law was going to be a Talmudic scholar, would you have made such a neder? So he said to him, what, if I knew he was going to learn just one chapter, even one halacha of learning, I wouldn't have made a neder. So therefore he says, look, here, I'm your son-in-law. He says, wow, of course I would have never made a neder, and that's what's known as a pesach, that could undo the neder, and therefore he gave his son-in-law half of his assets. Now the Ran asks on this Gemara Masechtas Ksubas, that how can he have used this premise as an opening for the neder, but this is what's known as noilin. And as the Mishnah tells us later on, Daf Samach Daf Amud Aleph, you can't open up, that's not considered a valid Pesach, with noilin, which means it's something that was at a later point in time introduced, which wasn't there at the time of the neder, just you didn't know about it. As the Mishnah later on explains, if someone says, I'm making a neder against this person that he can't have anah for me, and that person then becomes a great person, a Talmudic sage, and he says, oh, if I would have known that he was going to become a Sefer, a Talmud Chacham, I would never have made a neder. That's not a valid Pesach, because that wasn't there at the time of the neder. It wasn't some error at the time of the neder. It was only something that happened at a later point in time. So how could Rabbi Kiva have used this for his father-in-law? So that the Ran says that this incident by Rabbi Kiva is different because he left to yeshiva. He got married to the Kalba Savua's daughter with the intention of becoming a Talmud scholar, as the Gemara there in Perek Alpha P explains. And therefore, that's not noilid. And the reason being is because it's very common that if a person is going with that intention to become a Talmud Chacham, that he will learn one chapter and he will learn one halacha. And therefore, that's something that, had he known that at the time of the neder, he would never have made that. And that's not something that only happened at a later point in time. So therefore, he got his father-in-law's money. Now, the Gemara follows on this and says, Mishis mili iyas Rabbi Kiva. Actually, from six things, Rabbi Kiva became wealthy. First one, as we just explained, in Kalba Savua, from his father-in-law, when they finally permitted neder, he gave him half of his assets. The second is because min ayolo de sfinta, which is from the heart is H-A-R-T, which is a female deer, which is by the ships, and that is in their ships, they used to make the form of a deer made out of wood. And that was like a sign that the ship should be swift in its journey like a deer. And they would fill it up with golden coins. As the Gemara explains, the Chol Svinta Avdin Le Min Eina. All their ships, they would make something like this in the shape of this female deer. Zimna Chada and Shiyu Al Kef Yama. One time the sailors left this deer with all the golden coins on the sea, by the seashore. And Asahu Ashkecha and Rebbe Kiva came and he found it. And that's how he became wealthy. A third source of his wealth is Umin Gavsa. Gavsa basically means a treasure chest, which is a chest that they put money in inside when they're on the ship, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Begazad Rachman, it's a storehouse, it's a place where you put all a chest where you put all the money. Where what happened was, the Zimna Chada Yov Arba Zuzi Lisfunai. One time, Akiba gave four Zuz, not a lot of money, to sailors. Amlahu, he said to them, look, Isli Medan, bring me something back from your journey. Now, Velo Ashkecho Ele Gavzal Kev Yama, the only thing they found was this chest on the seashore. And Asule, they brought it to him. Amrulei, they said to him, Ovid Moron Ola, you could do something with this, the master. Now, Ishtakech, Tavamoledinri. What turns out is that it was actually full of dinarim, of coins. And the reason is the Gemara explains, the Zimna Chod, the Tobis Sfinta, and the Girsa has the words right on the line underneath, actually right over here, the Mindis Kurisa, because one time a ship, which was of these Arabian type of merchants, that their ship sank, but Kuli Iska Hava Mochis Baugavs, and actually all their money was in this one chest, Vishtakech, but that ended up coming to the seashore, and that was found that time that they brought it to him for his 4 dinarim, and he became wealthy because of all those coins that were inside. A fourth source of his wealth is Umin Matronisa, was from this Roman noblewoman, whereas Duran explains that one time Rabbi Kiva and his students needed to borrow money. So they went to this noblewoman, and she said to Rabbi Kiva, look, I'll lend you the money, but you'll be the borrower, and Hashem and the sea will be the guarantors. So they made up a time when Rabbi Kiva is going to pay up the loan. When the time came, Rabbi Kiva was ill, so he couldn't come and pay it back. So the noblewoman went to the seashore, and she said, look, Hashem, it's revealed in front of me that, in other words, you know that Rabbi Kiva is ill, and that's why he couldn't pay up his debt now, but you're the guarantor. So therefore, pay up, and so to the sea. So at that moment, the daughter of the Caesar became mentally deranged. She took a chest full of precious stones and golden coins, and she threw it into the sea. And the sea brought it to where this noblewoman was sitting at the edge of the sea. She took that chest, and she left. Now, a few days later, when Rabbi Kiva was well, so he came to the noblewoman, and he had the money to pay up the loan. So she said to him, no, your guarantor already paid up, and they actually paid up your debt, and even more than that was inside. So therefore, actually, I'm going to give you back the odef. I'm going to give you back the excess, the extra money, the change of what your guarantor had paid up. And from that money that she returned to Rabbi Kiva became wealthy. Rakhtiyat Hamid Beis, where the Gemara says, in the fifth source of his wealth was, Umin Ishtoi shall Turnus Raphis, from the wife of Turnus Raphis, Harasha, the wicked Turnus Raphis, where Rabbi Kiva used to debate with this wicked governor that with regards to interpreting Pesukim, and this was, both of them would debate this in front of the Caesar, and he would disparage this Turnus Raphis, and Rabbi Kiva would always best over him. Now one time this Turnus Raphis came to his house, all sour and sad. So his wife said to him, why are you so depressed? So he said to her, because of this Rabbi Kiva who always debates with me and he puts me down. So she said to him, look, I know that the God of the Jewish people hates licentiousness, immorality. So give me permission, and I will make Rabbi Kiva stumble in this sin, and that will be his downfall. So he gave his wife permission. Now she was a beautiful woman, and she adorned herself, and she went to Rabbi Kiva. Now when Rabbi Kiva saw her, he did three things. He spit, he laughed, and he cried. So she said to him, what are these three things that you're doing? So he said to her, look, two of them I'll explain to you, but the third one, I'm not going to explain to you. He said, I spit because, although you're beautiful, you really came from a putrid drop. And I cried, however, because of this great beauty that one day is just going to be buried in the ground. Now he laughed because he saw the divine Ruach HaKodesh that she will ultimately convert and get married to him, but he didn't want to tell her that. So she told him, he says, so she realized this great person, Rabbi Kiva, what he was telling her and reminding her of where she came from, Ayin Basel, not the Heilich. So she said, is there repentance for me? So he said, yes. So she went and she converted and she ended up getting married to Rabbi Kiva. And when she got married to him, she brought him all this money that she had from Turnus Raphis, her Rasha. And the sixth source was Umin Ketiah Bar Shalem, who is an individual where the Gemara says in the first Pekim Sechdes of Yedizor, Daf Yodim Abayz, this whole incident, what happened, and he was going out to be killed, he gave all his money to Rabbi Kiva and his students. So those are the six places where Rabbi Kiva became wealthy. Now the Gemara continues with a similar incident with one of those that we mentioned with how Rabbi Kiva became wealthy, was Rav Gamda. He also Yov Dalad Zuzilis Vano. He gave 4 zuzim to these sailors, Lasui by Midam, so that they should bring him something. Loyashko, they didn't find anything to bring him for the 4 zuzim. Asu lay behind Kupa, so they went, they brought him a monkey. Now Ishtame, what happened was is that the monkey ran away. And Allah Kharsa, it went into a certain cavity, certain cave. Chafra Basra, so they dug after it to get the monkey. Ashkechud Revi al Margulas, it turns out they were sitting on these pearls. Saisin and Leikulon, so they went, and out of what's called Midas Chasidis, out of extra piety, which wasn't according to Halacha that they were required to go ahead and give it to Rav Gamda, because it wasn't his pearls or his monkey even yet. But they went and they brought it to Mimi Chassid. It was because of him that they were bringing the monkey, and because of the monkey they found the pearl. So they went and they gave that to Rav Gamda, and that's how he became wealthy. Amr Lei Bas Kesel Rabishu Ben Chananya. So the daughter of the Caesar said to Rabishu Ben Chananya, and again talking about people that are poor, where actually Rabishu Ben Chananya had a black complexion. So she said to him, Taira Mufu'ara, such a beautiful Taira, but Kli Mechur in such an ugly vessel? Meaning you're such an ugly person. How's it possible that there's such beautiful Taira inside of you? So Amallah, so he said to her, look, we can learn this from your own father's household. With what do they put the great and delicious, precious wine in your father's household? So Amallah, she said to him, Bemani de Pachar, in earthenware vessels. So Amallah, he said to her, look, Kuli Amma Bepachar, everybody, all the common people, put their wine in this lowly casing made out of earthenware. Ba'atun Bemani de Pachar, and you also, the great, wealthy Caesar, you put your wine in the earthenware vessels? You have to do what's appropriate, such great and precious expensive wine. You have to put in gold and silver vessels. So that's what she did. She put the wine, and she's like, you're right, it's not appropriate. Put into gold and silver kegs, and Vasari, and the wine spoiled. So Amaloh, he said to her, Afair Isaacain, the Torah is the same way as Torah is compared to wine, and in many deep levels, that's the same understanding of how wine develops. Is the same thing. It can't be in gold and silver. It has to be in a Kli Mechura. So she said to him, what do you mean? But V'ikar Shapirin V'Gemirin. There's a lot of beautiful Talmudic scholars and they're well-learned. So how can you say it has to be in this earthenware vessel? Meaning in like someone ugly like you. So Amalah, he said to her, Ihavisonu, if they were less pretty, have a gemirin tefei. They actually would have been more learned, as Rashi says in Masechtas Tainis, because it's not possible for someone beautiful to humble themselves. And because of that, it ends up that the person forgets his learning, because Torah only comes to those who are humble. And because of that, he says, you're right, although they're learned, they would have been more learned had they been ugly. The Gemara continues similarly regarding a Talmudic scholar that wasn't so pretty. There was a certain woman that came in front of Rabbi Yehuda from Narda for a court case. And she came out as the losing party. So Amr Leish, she said to him, Shmuel Rabach, regarding your teacher Shmuel, Hachidana, that's how he would have judged. So Amr Leish, he said to her, what do you mean, you're that late? You knew my teacher Shmuel? So Amr Leish, and she said, yes. I could tell you how he looked. He was good, so he was short. Rabbi Krasi had a fat stomach. Ucham, he was black. V'rabashin, they had these long teeth. So Amallah, he said to her, Libzui causes, you're coming to degrade a Talmudic scholar like Shmuel? Tavahi itza b'shamta, that woman should be excommunicated. Paka v'mesa, she burst and she died. So the Gemara continues, now returning to the discussion of our Mishnah. He said that if a person says, Koinim tafshal, if someone says that a cooked dish is forbidden to me as a nether, so one of the things that is umuta bebeir turmita. So the person is permitted in this beir turmita, and the reason is, as we explained the Mishnah, because a tafshal only includes something that's eaten with bread, and this beir turmita is not eaten with bread. So they might ask my beir turmita, what's this turmita egg? So Amar Shmuel says, oh, this is something unique. Avdi de Avidla, a servant that could prepare such an egg, shavi alfa dinar, he's worth 1,000 dinar, and that is because the way it has to be processed. You have to first put it into hot water 1,000 times. The alpha zimni b'may kri, and then you have to put 1,000 times into cold water. Ad misazutra, until it shrinks, ki hecha devalisi, that it's so small that you could swallow it in one swallow without even having to chew it. Now, what's so special about this? Then is keva, if there's some type of ailment in the person's intestinal tract, so sarachla, what happens is that illness gets attached to the egg. And therefore, when that egg just comes out as is from the person's body, so yoda asya my sum misboile. So then the doctor knows what type of a healing is necessary, ubamai mitzi, and with what type of medication he'll be able to heal the person. That is because when he sees what type of ailment is attached to the egg that came out, so the doctor is going to know what he has to do, medically speaking and therapeutically, for that ill person. And that's what's unique about this beir turmita. And again, that's something that's not eaten with bread. That's why it's not considered tafshal. And if he's koinim only from a tafshal, he's permitted in his beir turmita. Now the Gemara tells us that Shmuel have a badik nafshe. He would inspect his GI to know what's wrong with him. But kulcha, which the Ran says that's kulcha is in the word of kelach, which is from the head of a cabbage. He would put that in his mouth and they would swallow it. So that is, since Shmuel wasn't so proficient in this Beir Tumita, so he would check himself out to see what's wrong with this kulcha. Now, however, that he would do this in test, ad misastrin inchi basi aless arian, until the people in this household would literally tear the hair out of their head. And that's because this kulcha was so exhaustive in how it would test the person's body until he would faint. And the people in this house were so in pain over this that they would be pulling the hair out of their head because of the extreme agony that Shmuel went through in this healing process. Now the Gemara continues regarding a servant that works for the, as we said, the Beir Tumita is worth 1,000 zuz if he's able to do this Beir Tumita. So similarly, we learn Tanan Hazman in the Mishnah Masechtas Maisus. If a worker was working in the type of figs which was called chlufsin, then he's not allowed to eat from different types of figs which are called b'nei sheva. And the reason why he can't eat is because although a worker is allowed to eat from the produce that he's working in, he can only work in that which is the exact type that he's working in. But since these are considered two different types of dates of figs, so therefore he's not allowed to go ahead and eat from the other type. And similarly, b'nei sheva, if he's working in the b'nei sheva type of figs, so loyichel b'chlufsin, he can't go ahead and eat from the chlufsin types. So the Gemara says, my chlufsin, what is this chlufsin type of figs? So now the Gemara says, mina de te'in, it's a type of fig, the avdin min hoyin lafti, which they use those figs to make this type of cooked dish of figs called lafti. Now, actually, the Gemara says, hahu gavra, the yov avdil achavi, there was a certain person that gave his servant to his friend, lagmuri alfa mini lafti, he hired his friend to teach his servant to make 1,000 types of these lafti, again, which are made from these chlufsin. So agmei tamnei mei, but he only taught that person's servant only 800 ways of making this cooked dish of lafti. So asmei ledina kamei ledrebi, said run for din time, from the rabbi, saying it's not fair. I hired him for 1,000, and he only taught my servant 800. So amr rabbi said when he saw this din time, he says, aviseinu amra, our fathers told us, nishinu taiva, that we have forgotten what's good. As the Pasuk in Eicha says, since the destruction, says, Neshisi Taiva, I've forgotten what good is. Now, Anu Afila Be'inenu Lorin, it says, us, with our eyes, we have never seen something like this. In other words, he was in bewilderment. He said, wow, such pleasure people are Epicurean style of 1,000 types of making this one type of latte dish. That's what Rebbe was in wonderment, like, wow, that's the entire 800 versus 1,000. Now, however, actually, the Gemara says that it's not like Rebbe was foreign to wealth and extravagance. As the Gemara says that Rebbe Ovid Lehiluli L'Reb Shimon B'Rebbe, or the Gemara says Brei, that Rebbe made a wedding for his son Reb Shimon. Now, Kosev Albeis Ganana, so Bar Kapar wrote on top of where the chuppah is, he wrote the following words. He wrote, Estrin V'Arbo Alfin Ribuyin Dinorin Nofkal Beis Ganana Dinen. He says, there was an expense of 240 million dinarin that were spent for this wedding, for this chuppah. And with all that expense, they couldn't invite Bar Kapar to the wedding. So Amalisa Bar Kapar said to Rebbe, if to those who violate his will, look what extravagance they're getting. Where some say that he was referring this to Rebbe, others say that Chas V'Shalom, he meant it to other non-Jews that were there at the wedding. Ben lo isur tzoyin alachas kama b'kama. For sure, those that keep Hashem's will, for sure, who knows what the great reward is going to be for those type of people. Now, ultimately, Azmanei. So Rebbe ended up inviting Bar Kapar. So Amma then Bar Kapar said, "Oh, lo isur tzoyin bo'il mazakach. If this is what Hashem does for those who do His will in this world, which according to the first interpretation would be for Rebbe, that now he's considering isur tzoyin. Look, what extravagance Hashem gives them. Lo'il mabo alachas kama b'kama, to the world to come. All the more so." Who can imagine the great reward if this is what extravagance is given for the righteous in this world, for sure for them in the world to come.